so we're starting a brand new series together this morning, and I'm kicking off the first one, which is really what we've been doing in one sense in our singing, is that everything is created to give him glory. So this series is about taking our everyday life, our commute, our bringing up our kids, our work, our shopping, everything we do from paying bills and answering the phone and dignifying the stuff of life and saying the stuff of life is worship. It's one of the themes of this series. The things you love, the things you do, even your hobbies, your interests is all worship. And to focus on our first calling, all of us, our first and primary calling is to be with Jesus. Amen. Jesus called those he wanted to be with him. And out of being with him came doing things with Jesus, like the great commandment of loving others as we love ourselves and loving the world and the Great Commission. But Jesus always said the first calling is, be with me. He said to Mary, when she sat at his feet while Martha was rushing around doing, he said, I'm not going to take away being with me. She's chosen the better portion. The first calling for every believer is to walk with Jesus in intimacy and relationship. And the third part of this series is going to explore that worship, and we'll define that in a moment. This being with Jesus is the greenhouse. It's where the good things of the kingdom grow, and it's the incubator, it's the life giver for being truly apostolic people. Amen. An apostolic people means those who are sent to announce good news to the world.
Hallelujah.
To say, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. And to go into all the earth, establishing the rule of God. That's what an apostolic people are. You cannot be an apostolic people apart from Jesus. Because the best programs, the best decisions, the best disciplines dry up without relationship.
Hallelujah.
These moments with Jesus become movements for Jesus. It all springs from being with Jesus. None of us can make anything happen. But what we can do is say, I'm learning to prioritize this relationship with the Lord Jesus. God is the great movement maker. He's the mover and the shaker. We're not. We have moments with him, and through our moments with him, we become people, and Rochelle mentioned this phrase to me this week, the hands and the feet of Jesus wherever we go. So most of us, when we think of the word worship, would this be true, we think about singing songs, don't we? We might think there's life, and there's what we were doing just a moment ago. There's singing songs, there's music, there's Sunday, or there's meet in the middle. That's worship, and then there's life. But the Bible paints a far bigger picture than just glory being given to God just in meetings. The Bible paints a ginormous picture of worship, saying it's not just the songs that we sing, it's the life that we live. The whole of life, when it is lived in response to God's love, God's goodness and a revelation of his character, that is worship. Amen. It's how we forgive. It's how we pay our bills. Amen. It's how we greet the bus driver on a rainy Monday morning in November when everybody's squishing on to get on the 51. It's all the ordinary stuff of life. Everyday things that you and I thought, they don't really matter. There's the spiritual stuff and there's the stuff of life. All the stuff we thought, oh, God's not interested in those things, actually those ordinary things are part of the biggest story being told in the universe right now.
Amen.
Which
Amen.
Is the knowledge of the glory of God. It's going to fill the whole earth.
Amen.
And we know there's a future sense of that, new heavens, new earth, and the glory of kings coming into the new Jerusalem. We know there's a future aspect of that, but there's also lives lived in the knowledge of God, bring glory to God, and cover the earth as well. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 10:31. You can see the verses there. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And this word glory is a funny word, really. It really means weight. Amen. It really means to draw attention to. It really means to magnify. It really means to make him seen. So that whatever we do, we're looking to make him seen. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands." It's what it's doing, it's shouting,
amen,
glorifying. Yeah. The way our dog wags her tail and walks with a smile, glorifying God. N.T. Wright says, the theologian from Oxford says this, "Worship is what happens when we direct our attention, our love and adoration to the living God." And then he says, in that space of adoration, we are reshaped into his image. So actually, transformation, a biblical word, sanctification is a word that means becoming more like Jesus, isn't something we do for God. It's something that happens in the space of locking eyes with him, adoring him in the ordinariness of life. It's another word for worship is to kiss towards, to prostrate and kneel. We can be in that posture in our jobs and in our home. So everything was created to give him glory. And our life glorifies him by being a window through which someone else can see God. That's our mission on earth, is to be a window that people can look through.
Hallelujah.
And see the beauty of God. Colossians 1:16 says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities." So basically saying, don't get frightened of the demonic. They're all created, not he created evil, but he is over them. All things have been created through him and for him.
Hallelujah.
We are living our lives for him.
Hallelujah.
Romans 11:36 says, "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever."
Amen.
All of our lives caught up with, I'm a window for God. As I worship and adore him, I'm living for him.
Hallelujah.
God is not egotistical or self-centered. God is not needy and he doesn't lack. He's not sitting in heaven feeling insecure and vulnerable and troubled unless he gets glory and gets built up. Rather, these verses are saying creation manifests God.
Amen.
It shows God off. It becomes a window for people to see God. We don't add to God what's missing, but as we go through life and we enjoy his glory, as we enjoy his goodness, as we enjoy his character, as we bank on his promises, as we rest in his mercy and grace, as we walk into situations with a different way of seeing the world, we manifest him, we show him off. As John Piper says, the theologian from America, God is most glorified by us enjoying him forever. As we're enjoying God, banking on God, resting in God, we manifest him. This is not a work we do. All creation glorifies God by being what it was made to be. There's not your life and then there's your effort to glorify God. This series is not about another thing that you have to do. Now you have to go through life and somehow be consciously aware of God on top of all your things. It's a posture towards God of just being who you were made to be. Psalm 148:3-10, "Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that they will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all the ocean depths, lightning and hail and snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. you mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. We glorify God by being what we were created to be.
Hallelujah.
But we are unique in the way that we bring glory to God, because we're the only ones on earth, the only created beings that get to choose to have God at the center. Mountains and sea creatures and hail and snow, they're glorifying God because he created them and established them, but they're not making a conscious, deliberate choice. It's just being who they were made to be. As you and I are being who we are made to be and saying, God, I want you at the center of everything, we glorify God. To land then, glorifying God is very often in the very practical everyday life.
Yeah.
It's our whole response to God. Forgiving reflects his mercy and grace. Keeping promises to people shows his faithfulness.
Amen.
Listening patiently mirrors his attentiveness to us.
Amen.
Working diligently shows his excellence and his orders, order. Creating beauty, art, music, design, gardening echoes his creativity. Serving others through skill reflects his generosity. Eating with gratitude recognizes him as provider. Trusting in uncertainty shows him off to be trustworthy. Giving generously mirrors his abundant generosity and self-giving love. Paying debts faithfully demonstrates his faithfulness in keeping his promises. Greeting the bus driver with kindness reflects the recognition of God for every individual's worth. Responding gently to rudeness demonstrates his gentleness and overcomes hostility. Saying no to greed declares him to be our treasure. You could go on and on and on. It's everything. It's absolutely everything. Now, this is not a new thought. How many of you have heard of a man called Brother Lawrence? Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence, he wasn't famous, and actually he wasn't well educated. He completely failed at school, and his only option actually was to go into the army. Brother Lawrence, he didn't lead a church. He was a simple lay brother. Lay, that's the kind of term that just means he's in the church, but he's not ordained, he's not official. And he was a lay brother in a monastery in Paris in the 1600s. He worked in a kitchen. Day after day, his life was chopping vegetables, washing dishes, and scrubbing pans. Later on, he moved on to repairing sandals. That was his life, a really everyday, ordinary life. But here's the extraordinary thing, and this is the reason we're still talking about this guy 400 years later. He discovered that God could be just as present at the sink as in a church meeting. Let us sink in. He can be just as present on the commute, in Tesco,
Amen.
In the queue, when you're on the call and you're trying to ring and you don't get through because AI won't let you get through to somebody. He's there. He said he felt just as close to God peeling potatoes as he did praying in the chapel. Every dish he scrubbed, he offered to God in love. Every meal he cooked, he prayed, Lord, I do this for you. Consciously. Consciously as a practice. Over time, and that's why I say it's a practice, don't know about you, I can pray in the morning and get to six and I think, oh God, where have you gone? And God says, where did you go? Over time, he began to live every moment with this awareness. It's what he called practicing the presence of God. And you can buy this little book. Takes about 30 minutes to read, 400 years old, one of the best-selling books in the history of the church. And he didn't write it as a book. He wrote it as letters to a friend to explain his life. It's actually a whole bunch of letters about what he called practicing the presence of God. And this practicing the presence of God, and it changed him. Visitors said, and they came to see him wash up, okay? So Paris, 16th century, people are not coming to a church meeting. They're coming to see Brother Lawrence wash dishes. Imagine people gathered around your booth at work, or your classroom, or whatever you do, and they're coming to see what God is doing in you. Visitors said, this kitchen was more holy than most churches because he radiated joy and peace.
Beautiful.
Even while he was covered in soap and covered in flour and under pressure to get the meals done, he radiated joy and peace. Peace is the biggest longing of the hearts of men and women in the world right
Amen.
Now. People are hassled, hurried,
Amen.
Agitated and anxious, overwhelmed by the fear of missing out, troubled by anxiety about the future. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, our phones are going to ring with an alarm from the government, seeing if their warning system works. For some people, that will spiral them into terrifying anxiety, believing everything is doomed. People long for peace. And they came in the 16th century to Brother Lawrence because he radiated peace and joy. Mm. And centuries later, people are still reading this little book of letters called Practicing the Presence. Mm. Why? Because he discovered what most of us miss. Worship is glorifying God in the ordinary rhythm of life. So I want you to imagine London. Imagine your life. Imagine the street where you live. Imagine your neighbours. Imagine your workplace. Imagine your commute. Imagine your Zoom call. Imagine your ordinary everyday life. The offices, the kitchens, the buses, the playgrounds. Imagine all these places just being filled with small acts of worship. Amen. That people came to watch you with your kids at the playground because of the joy and the peace that you exude. People came to you in your office to observe how you do life. All these small places manifesting his love. Drops of glory until the whole earth is finished. Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And I want to land with this because all these acts of kindness, all these acts of gentleness, all these acts of peace, all these acts of faithfulness, all these acts of self-control, they are manifestations of the person of the Holy Spirit. They are manifestations of love. They're not just people who have got more disciplined and more diligent and more determined. They are people who are springing up fruit and manifesting who God is through their abiding with God and awareness of God. There are works of the flesh, Galatians says, but these manifestations are fruit of love. They're fruit of the Spirit. They're given to us as a gift through abiding. I want to land with this thought. Awareness of God in the ordinary becomes the greenhouse and incubator for truly apostolic people. Awareness of Him creates expectation. So this is the journey of how moments become movements. As we're aware of God, as we're practicing the presence of God, as we're turning our affection and our attention to the one who's always present, omnipresent, we are the temple of God. We're that stones being built together, but we're also the temple of God in that sense individually. And as we turn our attention and our affection with simple phrases like, good morning, Holy Spirit, or I know you're with me, I know in this space you're with me, can I have your wisdom, I want to know your joy, Holy Spirit, I want to, as I'm picking up the Bible, I want you to lead me, guide me, direct me, bring it alive, as we become aware of him in everyday ordinary moments, mm-hmm. in the awareness that he's always with you, comes the moments where you hear him say, I want to heal that person. comes the moment when you hear she's had a really rough day and needs encouragement. Comes the moment where you hear him say, share your story. Comes the moment where you hear him say, express generosity and listen with your time or with your money. In his presence comes moments of healing, power, miracles, signs, wonders, prophecies, the gifts that manifest not just as the church gathers, but as we go, all springing out of an awareness of him. Jesus said, you're first called to be with me. We don't have to think about how am I going to be this apostolic person? How am I going to be aware of him? How am I going to overflow? How am I going to make things happen? It's like this cup, which you can't see very well. It's a cup you can buy in Tesco's. One of their £2.50 cups, a really ordinary cup. Cup like you and me, everyday cups, doing everyday things. But as we're living under this waterfall of grace and reality of who God is, we're just being soaked like a sponge. We're becoming more like God just by being with God. Amen. And it's inevitable that this cup eventually overflows. Mm-hmm. And wherever it overflows, green things start springing up. Doesn't matter how big our life is, the issue is how big a source do we have.
Yeah.
So I'm going to invite us to stand, and we're going to pray together. So practicing the presence can simply be, in this moment, I recognize that you're here. And it's not because I necessarily feel that you're here. It's just that you said you'll never leave us or forsake us. Yeah. So the logical conclusion is you're here. And you said nothing can separate you from the love of God, not the future, not the past. Nothing can. So I conclude that I'm not separated and that you're here. That the Bible talks about you being present everywhere, that you're present here and you're present everywhere. Wherever I go, you're present. So if you're present here, and I believe you are, that in this moment can be a holy moment where I glorify you and I recognize you and I bank on your goodness and I look to you. I can taste and see that you're good because you're here. I can be satisfied with the richest of fare because you're here. And my cup can overflow because you're here. And because you're here, I can anticipate that the one who is here is the healer.
Yes.
I can anticipate because you're here that healing can happen. That actually my body can be healed in this moment because I simply recognize that you're here. And wherever you are, Jesus, there's healing. There's freedom. Wherever you are, deaf ears open. Wherever you are, blind eyes see. Wherever you are, the lame walk. Wherever you are, prisoners get released and captives get set free. Wherever you are, those are the kind of things that happen. Wherever you are, there's signs, wonders, and miracles. Wherever you are, there's gifts of faith and there's gifts of trust. Just recognizing you're here. You're always present. The question is often, am I present? And so even in this moment, Lord Jesus, we invite you to heal the sick.
Yes, Lord.
We invite your power to come to the weary.
Yes, Lord.
We invite you to do signs and wonders and miracles that point to your glory. We invite you to speak encouragement and edification and to build us up. I just want to land with this thought. If you're a Christian here this morning, you've only got one calling, and that's to be with Jesus.
Beautiful.
And he includes the whole of your life in the being with him.
Beautiful.
That's your only calling. Listen, you don't have to be the greatest evangelist. You don't have to do things to impress him. Just be with him. And you will, we will, overflow.
Amen.
It's impossible not to overflow.
Amen.
It's impossible for moments with Jesus not to become movements where the big mover and shaker moves.
Mm.
It's impossible.
Amen.
But our first calling is just to be with Jesus.
Amen.
going to ask you just to increase your presence, increase our awareness of you being present. Take all of our lives and captivate us with the big mega story of the Bible that we've caught up in. Excite us. If you're bored as a Christian, it's because you've not understood the story you're part of. If you find Christianity boring, then you've not understood rightly that you're part of the greatest story that's being told on planet Earth right now.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, God.